When you walked into the sanctuary this morning, what was your focus? Were you noticing the decorations or the people who were already present? Were you thinking about something you needed to do in worship, like take offering or read, or something you need to do later today, or who you might need to talk to or want to connect with before you leave the church this morning? I'm wondering if any of us, and this is myself included, we're thinking about presenting ourselves to God as we walked in those doors. I wonder if any of us were thinking, seeing ourselves as moving into the presence of God, onto holy ground. As the Apostle Paul puts it in the letter to the Romans, were we presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, a holy offering, a precious people? Now, I'm not asking this to point out guilt. Any guilt that's there, just wipe it away. Not pointing out failure. Rather, I'm inviting us to consider how we approach worship and approach our faith. In some faith traditions, as you walk through that door, you would take your shoes off. An action that profoundly marks the transition into holy space, being in the presence of the divine. In some Christian traditions, you would pause, cross yourself, bend your knee, showing honor and reminding yourself that you're on holy ground. In some churches, the organ or piano is playing as you enter, something we found hard to do with having the choir practice before church, and it's just the way it is here. But that music can signal the transition and act as a reminder to settle into the presence of God. Now, we believe that God is with us everywhere, but this is a particular, holy, special place in which we intentionally come into God's presence. I think we all sense the sacredness of this place, a sacredness created by the generations who have worshipped on this site. Each of us have our own expectations and ideas about how this space should be treated and how we should act in this place. And it jars us when someone does something that doesn't fit with those expectations. It feels inappropriate. For example, a few years ago, I came into the sanctuary for a wedding rehearsal to discover the bridal party seated on the communion table. Yeah. I hope my gasp was inaudible. But then I realized that they really didn't have the experience that we have in this place, of knowing that this is the table around which we share the Lord's Supper. So I took a moment to ask them not to sit on the table, to explain just a bit of what it means to us. And we went on with the rehearsal. Sacred, holy, blessing, sacrifice, offering, salvation, confession. These are words connected with this space in which we gather. They are words which hold a special meaning for us. Words that hold less meaning or different meaning or no meaning in most of the society around us. I read an article this week about the decline in the use of religious language. It wouldn't surprise most of us that conversations that touch on faith and spiritual matters are becoming more rare. A recent survey by the Barna Group in the United States showed that 75% of people, whether they are faith-affiliated or not, but 75% of people do not have or rarely have what they consider spiritual conversations. And that includes, as I said, all those who name themselves as committed to faith groups. Only 7% in the study indicated that they talk about spiritual matters regularly. I imagine that most of us find ourselves more within that 75% of group who rarely have spiritual conversations outside this place. Now, I'll come back to why that may be. But the other interesting piece that was offered in this article indicated that spiritual and religious words are fading from our vocabulary in general in North America. Now, we might not be surprised that words like salvation and blessing are used less and less within our culture. However, the study also found that words connected with virtues, or what we as Christians would call the fruits of the Spirit, words like love, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, and humility, are being used less and less, both in written language and in oral language. And words such as compassion and kindness and thankfulness have dropped in written and oral usage by 50% in this past century. It just didn't start in the last few years. It's been this past century, but there's this constant decline. Now, I was horrified when I read that statistic. I can understand that the real religious-sounding words are on the decline. That didn't shock me. But it did shock me that words such as patience, gentleness, kindness, compassion, and thankfulness are being used less and less. What does that mean for our culture? What does it mean for the next generations? I see our schools trying to speak with children about these concepts. You sometimes see it on the signs, patience, kindness, and caring. But what good does it do if our schools speak about these things, but our children don't experience them in the wider culture? Think about what you hear on a daily basis. There is so much more that is negative, so much anger and attack and blame, so much more complaining and criticizing. People are ready to pounce if something isn't just the way they want it. Where have we lost our compassionate and caring speech? It is both disheartening and terrifying to hear of the death threats and threats of assault regularly leveled at politicians, at indigenous people, at people of diverse faith groups, at people within the LGBTQ community, at women who dare to name that they have been sexually assaulted, at anyone who in some way speaks out or stands out. My heart breaks when I consider how much we have lost compassionate and caring speech, and the kindness, patience, gentleness, and gratitude that go along with that speech. It's just not the words that we have lost, but along with words, the actions and attitudes of heart, the values of living have disappeared. So what are we to do? As people who have chosen to follow the way of Jesus, I believe that we must make a choice once again to use spiritual, compassionate, and caring language on a daily basis, to really make a focus of using that language. It can begin simply. Try saying blessings instead of good luck. Look for opportunities to name patience or kindness when you see it, to say thank you to someone who would never expect a thank you. The question is, why are spiritual conversations so hard? Why have we moved away from spiritual language? And I think this is something that we've done in the United Church for good reasons, but we have to think about it. We may avoid using religious language or mentioning spiritual themes in a conversation because we're afraid of causing tension or starting an argument. We are aware that people have been put off by religion, and we don't want to be part of that. We're embarrassed by how religion is often portrayed and how politicized it's become. And we don't want to appear strange or extremist or have our views written off because we're seen as Oh, they're just religious. And so even though our faith is essential to us, important enough that we gather here on Sunday mornings and in other times of the week, even though we have committed ourselves to God and to following the way of Jesus, we can find it awkward or uncomfortable or even frightening to speak of God or blessing or the way of Jesus in a more public setting. I know that in certain settings, I try to avoid telling people that I'm a minister because I just don't want to hear why they don't come to church or what I believe so dearly, why it's so offensive to them. Yet what happens when we don't use spiritual language and when we don't have those spiritual conversations? Well, our society starts losing the language and the attitudes of compassion and gratitude and caring, which are so central to our faith. And that is terrifying. When we don't use those words, we leave them in the hands of those who would abuse them. As Jonathan Merritt, the writer of the article I read, says, that toothy evangelist keeps using spiritual language to call for donations to buy a second jet airplane. The politician keeps using spiritual language to push for unjust legislation. The street preacher keeps using spiritual language to peddle the fear of a fiery hell. They can dominate the conversation because we've stopped speaking God. In our effort to avoid contributing to the problem, we actually worsen it. Those misusing and abusing spiritual language get to hog the microphone. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, we are offered an amazing list of the attitudes, words, and practices that are to form and shape us as those who choose to follow the way of Jesus. If you look at the opening prayer in your bulletin, the words of Paul are recounted there. So as followers of Jesus, we are to let our love be genuine, to resist what is evil and hold fast to what is good, to love one another as God loves us, to honor one another and care for one another, to rejoice in hope and persevere in prayer, to contribute to the needs of the church and extend hospitality to strangers. When we choose Jesus, we then choose to shape our lives around these things and around spiritual conversation and spiritual practice. That's why we gather here, to practice the spiritual language, to practice spiritual conversation, to integrate these into our lives, to have one safe place where we can talk about matters of the spirit and matters of the heart. This is not just a nice thing we do here. It is an essential thing for ourselves, our community, our culture, and our world. Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, heard Paul and Silas speak spiritual language to describe their experience of Jesus. The words they spoke and the compassion and caring with which they spoke them led Lydia to open her heart and to eagerly receive their message, bringing transformation to her life and to her whole household. Because the first followers of Jesus dared spiritual conversation and spiritual language, many lives were transformed and blessed. So we might feel awkward about saying blessings instead of good luck. We might be afraid of where the conversation will go if we admit that we go to church or are a minister. We might stumble at finding the right words to express our faith, especially to someone who doesn't know or value faith. Yet we have chosen to follow the way of Jesus, a way of compassion and caring. The way of Jesus has blessed our lives, bringing us strength and hope when we didn't know how we would make it through. There are those around us, a whole culture around us, which needs to hear again the words of faith, spoken by people of faith, whether Christian or Muslim, Jewish or Baha'i, Hindu or Latter-day Saints. Together, as we name the presence of God in our lives, as we speak and live compassion, patience, understanding, and gratitude, we bless our society. It is time that hatred and anger not have the final words. It is time that politicians and indigenous people, women and LGBTQ, not have to expect death threats and cruel comments and actions. It is time that compassion and caring be valued once again as strengths, not weaknesses. It is time that patience and humility and gratitude be cultivated in our lives rather than discarded as old-fashioned. It is time that we cherish all peoples of all backgrounds, genders, orientations, cultural groups, and faith groups, and live together with love and understanding, not hostility and fear. It is time. And that time begins with people of faith, who are willing to speak of spiritual matters and use spiritual language every day. We'll each find our own way of doing that, but it begins with coming to this holy place, this sacred house. It begins with knowing that as we walk through those doors into this sanctuary, we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, a holy offering, a precious people. We choose to be here as a congregation, as followers of Jesus, because we understand that we have a sacred task, a task which we must practice together in this place so that we may then take it out into the world. So may sacred language and spiritual conversation shape our lives as we let our love be genuine, as we resist what is evil and hold fast to what is good, as we love one another and care for one another, as Jesus taught us to do, as we rejoice in hope and persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the church, and extend hospitality to others. For we are called to be a blessing. We are called to be compassion and gratitude and thankfulness in this world. May it be so among us. Amen.